May I speak in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
I'm actually going to do something today that I wouldn't normally do in a sermon. Actually a number of things I wouldn't normally do. Firstly, I just wanted to share with you how and why I came up with this particular sermon. Normally, the first thing I do is read the readings for the day. And normally, it's the gospel reading that I would preach from. But not this time. This time I became fixated on one particular verse of the New Testament reading from the letter to the Romans. The other thing I'm going to do, which I wouldn't normally do, is I'm actually going to read to you part of a sermon that somebody else wrote. And not just anybody. The sermon was actually delivered by the Reverend Dr. Sin, who was a fictional vicar of Dymchurch under the Wall. The fact that he was also a notorious and murderous smuggler, we'll kind of gloss over that for the moment. The books were written by Russell Thorndike. And although I promised not to mention Father's Day today, I'd just like to point out that the reason I'd read these books as a child was because my father introduced them to me. I'm afraid I don't do voices like Father Barry, so I will try and make it obvious which parts of the sermon are Dr. Sin's and which are mine. So Dr. Sin says this. Just the other day, I was round at the courthouse for a port with Captain Collier, the squire, and Dr. Pepper. And the conversation turned to the subject of that Southern Seas, and then to the execution of that notorious pirate, Captain Clegg. The dear captain was of the opinion that Clegg had indeed not been hanged at Rye. But the mystery of it, at least for the good captain, was that Clegg had persuaded someone else to commit willful murder, and thereby be hanged as Clegg in his place. For Sir Anthony, this was all too fanciful, and he suggested to the captain that would be telling us next that Queen Anne wasn't dead either. It was the captain's next comment that has struck me most forcefully, and I just can't seem to get it out of my head. Queen Anne is dead because she was not fortunate enough to persuade someone to die for her. Now I maintain that is exactly what Clegg did do. He persuaded someone to die in his place. As Collier spoke, my mind wandered back to the book of Romans in the Bible and to chapter 5, which the good squire read to us this afternoon, and in particular verse 8, which said, God demonstrated his own love for us, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So that was Dr. Sin. Who, I often find myself asking, who is this man, Jesus Christ, who was good enough and loved me enough to die in my place for my sins? What do we know about Jesus Christ? Well, actually, we know quite a lot about him. In fact, a lot more than we know about a lot of historical people. And this is remarkable considering the modesty of his upbringing and the humility of his death. Jesus did not grow up in any of the great cities of the time, Rome, Jerusalem, Athens. He lived in quite a small village in Galilee. He wrote no books. He led no armies. He governed no nations. He died an appalling, humiliated death, reserved by the Romans for the most contemptible of criminals. A quotation often given as anonymous, but sometimes attributed to James Allen Francis, says, "All the armies that ever marched, all the navies that ever sailed, all the parliaments that ever sat, all the kings that ever reigned, put together have not affected the life of man on this planet so much as that one solitary life. So what sort of man was he that his effect is still felt today? This is what Napoleon Bonaparte said about Jesus Christ about 200 years ago. Alexander, Caesar, Charlemagne, and I myself have founded great empires, but upon what did these creations of our genius depend? Upon force. Jesus alone founded his empire upon love, and to this very day, millions will die for him. I think I understand something of human nature, and I tell you that these were men, and I am a man. None else is like him. Jesus Christ was more than a man. Christ alone has succeeded in so raising the mind of man towards the unseen that it becomes insensible to the barriers of time and space. Now, when Napoleon said what he did, he showed unbelievable insight. He saw how Jesus Christ conquered. It was not by force, but by winning the human heart. All who sincerely believe in him experience that remarkable supernatural love toward him and from him. This phenomenon is unaccountable. It is altogether beyond the scope of the creative powers of us humans. Time is a great destroyer. It is powerless to diminish this love. Time can neither exhaust its strength nor put a limit to its range. But this is what strikes me most. Everything about Christ astonishes me. His spirit overawes me, and his will confounds me. I studied history all my adult life, and I have searched in vain to find anyone who even remotely comes close to Jesus Christ. Jesus came into the world fully man and fully God. He perfectly obeyed God's law and perfectly fulfilled God's will for him. He died in our place as our substitute, paying for our sins. He rose from the dead on the third day and he ascended into heaven, but he will return one day to establish his kingdom here on earth. But in the meantime, we are commissioned to preach the gospel to all people everywhere. There's no one alive who doesn't respond to the power of love. God takes us at any time. It doesn't matter if we come to him as young people or on our deathbeds or at any point in between. He loves us regardless of our feelings or what we've done or what we haven't done or what anyone else has done to or for us. Now, I'm actually going to leave you with something. What I want to leave you with today is the reason why this particular verse stuck with me. And it actually comes from one of the Gospels, for John, actually. So it has one of my favourite phrases, which I won't give you. You can ask me after the service. I won't give it to you now because I want you to think about the verse that I was stuck with or fixated on and why I prepared my sermon in this way today. I want you to take your weekly sheet home and I want you to read that verse and I want you to think about how it makes you feel. And to remind you, the verse is this. But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Amen.